Behind it, angled on a raised platform, were about 20 silvered capsules, looking like sci-fi coffins.
So, the stories were true. They exist, and there they are. By the three Kennedys, they are freezies.
The control room contained everything needed to be functioning again immediately. Everything except instructions. The consoles held clues to how they might have operated, but nothing more.
This one's marked coolant input.
Lori rattled a black handle on the glass wall in front of the capsules.
How'd you open up the doors here?
Leave it, dearest. We must exercise some care. A rash and hasty move could lead to an unimagined disaster.
There's 25 of these metal boxes, Doc, but it looks like only 9 of them are operational. 5 got a liquid display saying not in use. 11 got a red malfunction sign glowing, like something went wrong over the years.
What about those 9?
Just a steady green. Lots of dials and bleepers, but they're all static.
How about unfreezing them, Doc? See what a 100-year man looks like.
Ryan smiled at the boy's enthusiasm.
What'd happen if we tried to let him out, Doc?
Who on God's green earth knows, my old comrade in arms? With nothing to guide us, I fear that it would not be a likely success.
Could try, though.
Ryan was fascinated by the thought that the gleaming capsules might contain men and women from 100 years ago. People with all the scientific knowledge and wisdom that they'd had in those days. Who knew what information they might be able to convey?
I think not. To tamper with such things, far beyond our wisdom, Ryan, this could be a fearful Pandora's box of evil or disease. How can we take on that weighty responsibility?
We got every right, Doc. There's nobody else here but us. I say let's try and defrost them.
This is madness, my friend. Madness. But we don't even know how to begin to release them from their eternal durance.
Ounce of Plasex and they'll pop open like the belly of a drowned dog.
Here. Sealed panel says emergency mass release controls. This has got to be it.
They all gathered around. The control was on what looked to be the master console. Certainly the chair in front of it was larger and more plush than any of the others. And smack in the center was the panel that Christy had noticed. It was locked and had an intricate set key attached to it by a steel chain.
One key and 3 locks.
Not uncommon, my dear. Many high-security establishments will have a similar system. It prevents a single fit of schizoid psychotic madness. No one person can operate the master key, or press the red button reading, "Do not pass go and do not destroy the world." We will probably find a time delay on a single key that will shut down the whole override system.
So where's the other keys, Doc? Round here?
In the ruins of what was once the Pentagon, or Washington, Camp David, Nevada, Air Force One? I can tell you, my snow-headed colleague, that those missing keys will remain missing until Gabriel blows his horn, and probably after that as well.
Plasex time.
JB fumbled in the lining of his leather jacket. Ryan was about to warn the armorer to be careful, then decided to keep his mouth shut. JB would be as careful as he could be without needing to be told about it. Dix teased out a tiny piece of the gray explosive, rolling it between his fingers. He worked the thin worm of Plasex into a triangular shape, pressing it to the top of the sec-locked control. He took out a detonator, which was no larger than a thumbtack, and pushed one end into the gray strip.
10 seconds. Ready? Go.
The armorer tweaked the end of the detonator to activate its timing mechanism. They all ducked behind the desks for protection, though the explosion was barely noticeable. It did the trick. A 3-sided section of the cover had been lifted off, exposing a single red switch beneath it. On the console, a number of lights flashed furiously.
100 years ago, telephones would have been ringing all over the shop. This must have been one of the most secret places on the planet.
Not anymore. You figure this'll start to thaw out the freezies, Doc?
Kill or cure?
Moving carefully to avoid cutting his hand on the sharp edges of the torn cover, Ryan gripped the red switch and pulled it firmly toward himself.
There she blows.
JB took off his fedora and waved it in the air in a most uncharacteristic display of enthusiasm. Lights flashed above each of the 9 silver pods that the companions had assumed were occupied. What looked like steam was released in blinding clouds, concealing everything behind the great glass wall of the control chamber.
Coolant release. Guess it must have been something like liquid nitrogen after all. It's being vented right now. My stars, but this is exciting.
Otis opened it too.
What are they going to be like?
Those that have already ceased the cryogenic process will obviously be exceedingly defunct, dead, gone before, joined the choir celestial, sleeping with their maker, resting the rest that has no awakening, dived into the last great darkness, savoring the enigma of the journey from which no man has yet returned, plucking at the
Doc, heart. Answer the bastard question, will you? What are they going to be like, the ones that unfreeze?
Yes. Bear in mind that the probability is that they will have been frozen either to a point near death or at a point where the disease had them severely in its grip. Perhaps some illness that had not yet run its course, but for which medical science had then no hope of cure.
Phew. Fucking sickies, Doc?
In a word, yes.
What if it's catching?
Christie's question stopped everyone in their tracks. Suppose these illnesses from before Skydark were hideously contagious. None of them had thought about that.
Can't be.
Why, Ryan?
Too much risk to anyone here or in the freezing part of the redoubt.
Ever hear of LIDS?
What?
Lethal Immune Deficiency Syndrome. The government suppressed the facts about it, trying to avoid a panic.
What was...
Your body's resistance to illness vanished overnight. Caught by walking through someone's sneeze. Easy as that. And you really could get it from toilet seats. If the nukes hadn't ended civilization, it could have killed more people than the Black Death.
What if one of them and those there got it?
As I said, there were many ways you could pick it up. Any sort of contact, no matter how casual, spread the virus, which was always 100% terminal. But it was easily detected, as I recall. So they'd not have let anyone in here with it. At least I remember from some of the scuttlebutt whispers at the time. Where was I? Oh, yes. When the sons of bitches fired me forward, they were talking about concentration camps and portable crematoria and even IE.
What was that, Doc?
The old man's horror tale from the past had caught everyone's attention. Nobody was even bothering to look at the fog-filled cubicles and the ponderously opening, streamlined freezing chambers.
Involuntary euthanasia. It never got quite that bad, but there was martial law in the air, my friends, and a cold hand around your heart if you tested positive. Bad days.
Dr. Theophilus Tanner shook his head sadly, tapping at the floor with the metal ferrule of his cane. The dismal insight that he'd given into the past of their country held everyone in silence. A silence that was broken by Lori.
Look!
The inactive or malfunctioned capsules were now completely open. The other 9 were still hidden behind the veiling torrents of released coolant. The blonde teenager led the way to peer into the open containers. The others joined her, staring into the padded interiors of the frozen coffins. Some were quite empty. Some were not.
Bones. Bones. Dried, lazy bones.
Hermetically sealed for 100 years, the failures of the cryogenic experiments had become perfectly